of those comments.
This morning, we all send our prayers to the Bush family as we wish former President George H.W. Bush a very speedy recovery. I also want to express our deepest sympathies to the Canadian people following the horrendous tragedy in Toronto that claimed so many innocent lives. Our hearts are with the grieving families in Canada. Your visit, Mr. President, comes at a critical time for our alliance. Along with our British friends, the United States and France recently took decisive action in response to the Syrian regime's use of chemical weapons. I want to personally thank President Macron, the French military, and the French people for their steadfast partnership. They were absolutely incredible. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
And finally, a new poll out says social media is a daily way of life for many Americans. Now, nearly half of Americans who use the Internet say they use Facebook at least several times a day, making it easily the most popular social media site. A new poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research finds that 12% of Americans who are online use Facebook almost constantly, while 34% use it several times a day. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! We're going to be talking about the new military strategy today. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the air, this Air Force veteran decided to start his instrument rating training. So if you fly in the Annapolis area, you've been warned. All right, just kidding. But what wasn't funny this week was the engine that blew up during flight on a Southwest 737. We weren't surprised to learn that the steady hands behind the yoke and throttle belonged to none other than one of our nation's finest, Tammy Jo Schultz. Tammy is one of the Navy's first female fighter pilots and the first woman to fly an F-A-18. She served in the Navy for 10 years, reaching the rank of lieutenant commander, before separating in 1993. Commander Schultz, hell of a job you did. Salute.
Good to hear, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks content. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking very pleased with himself. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to talk about our relationship with Turkey. It used to be pretty good. It's not now. Then General Arnold Panero has just returned from a symposium discussing our military's new strategy. You're going to find this very interesting. Then we're going to meet retired Lieutenant Colonel Alex Gallegos. We'll discuss his career and his run for Congress. Army Captain Roger Hill commanded Fox Company in combat his whole company was treated poorly by our military, and he's written a book about it. And military ladies, attention. We're going to tell you about the upcoming Military Entrepreneur Women's Symposium held in May.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. I'd appreciate it if you would also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And, of course, join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, we welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
R. Lee Ermey, a once active duty Marine who made a career in Hollywood playing hard-nosed military men like Gunnery Sergeant Hartman in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, has died from pneumonia-related complications. He was...
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. We've got some rain and patchy fog today. High of 63. And low tonight, chance of showers and fog again at 50, or high of 48. Going to be sunny tomorrow, and Thursday, low of 47, and high of 60 on Friday, low of 46 Friday night, and a high of 66. More showers likely towards the end of the day, and or end of the week, and then Sunday looks sunny again.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. I am your host of Happy to Help, a show about volunteerism and nonprofits and all the people doing good things in the world to help others, because I truly believe that if you want to be happy, you need to help someone else, and that's the key to happiness. So today we're very happy to welcome Sandy Mitchell. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Sandy is the founder of Project Help, which is an organization that helps veterans, and I will let you do the honors of telling us what Project Help is all about, why you started it, and how you came to starting this great nonprofit.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and to be able to tell everyone a little bit about Project Help. It was kind of born accidentally. I was doing some nonprofit work in the past and doing fundraising things for veterans organizations, and when I realized that some of them weren't really legitimate, I decided that I should probably have my own organization so that I know that the money raised is really going to what I say it's going to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going into other pockets or for frivolous nonsense. So that kind of launched me into coming up with Project Help. I have a background that kind of led me in this direction from years ago. I was married to a Vietnam vet for 15 years, and he was in the Army. He was in Vietnam. That was his last tour of duty. And he really never thought he would get out of the Army. He thought he would retire, but after Vietnam, he decided that was it. He was done.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back very broken and very hostile and angry, and eventually, maybe a year or two later, he committed suicide.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
and,
sorry.
Yeah, and so... You know, that whole experience was, just a nightmare from beginning to end, you know, from the time he came home until he died. And so that stuck with me all these years. And some of the things, I couldn't quite understand what my attraction was to the military, aside from the cool uniforms that they wear, you know, and especially the Marines, because they have the best uniforms.
But, very impressive, right?
Yeah, yeah, right? And so... there was something that was gnawing away at my heart, you know, it was tugging at my heart to do something. So when I really got involved in working with veterans organizations, I realized that they might not be great, but the veterans were great.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started Project Help, it was with the intention to keep everything on the up and up. Mm-hmm. And there would be very transparent, and all the money that we raised would be going right into our hardship fund. Of course, we do have to pay some administrative expenses out of the money raised.
Naturally.
But nobody gets paid. We don't have anybody getting paychecks.
Okay.
I'm just now starting to get reimbursed for my expenses.
Okay.
So that's
understandable.
That's really nice because I travel a lot
and
literally sometimes have to fill my gas tank 3 times a week.
Wow.
And so it's starting to dig into my money a lot. But anyway, so I'm getting like $100 a month for travel expense. So that's okay.
That's reasonable.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. So Project Help was actually founded to serve the homeless population.
Oh.
The homeless vets. And that's where I thought I wanted to put my energy. And realizing after about a year that it wasn't really what I wanted to do. I mean, I still want to help homeless vets, but it's not my main focus.
Mm-hmm.
There are other organizations that do it, and they do it well. And so I do it, but I don't have to. So I saw a much bigger mission.
Okay.
And the bigger mission was to be able to provide all types of assistance, not just a place to lay your head at night. And so I started to build onto the mission to include all kinds of financial problems that we can help with. We have a hardship fund that if a veteran comes and says, you know, my electricity's being turned off because I can't pay the bill, can you help? And as long as they're qualified, mm-hmm. then we write a check to the power company and we pay their bill for them.
Oh, directly. That's great.
Yeah. So we don't ever exchange funds to anybody other than the creditors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have parameters on that. We have a limited budget, so somebody can't come and tell me they're 6 months behind on their mortgage. Will I pay it up for them? And no, I can't do that. You know. And there are other limitations on it. Like they have to have income.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because if you don't have any income, my paying your electric bill isn't going to help you because you'll be back in the same position next month.
Yeah, smart.
Right. So we have that kind of a parameter. But, you know, that's understandable. And most everybody that does this kind of work, they have those parameters. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be earned income. It could be, you know, some of our vets are on disability and mm-hmm. that's enough to live on, mm-hmm. except when something unusual comes up and they don't have the money. So we were doing that for most of the 2 years that we've been in business. And then the light bulb went on. I said, you know, here I am working with all these wonderful men and women, and there are a lot of women vets that are just starting to surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this isn't really what it's about. This is just a Band-Aid on the problem. You know, paying your electric bill or paying your rent for a month isn't solving the problem because you're so close to being homeless or totally broke anyway. The problem is that either they don't have a job or they don't have a job good enough to sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's where our focus changed in 2018. Our big focus this year is to get involved with big companies that have jobs and to be able to cut through all the red tape. Because most of the time now you go to a big company, let's just say Johnson & Johnson is a big company in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so unless you have a direct connection to get you in the door, you go onto their website and you put in your resume and you da-da-da-da. And if you don't put in the right keywords for the jobs that they have at the moment, you're not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, well, if I can connect with Johnson & Johnson personally, then I can hand that resume to the hiring person.
Mm-hmm.
And cut through all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good thing. So the other thing that I think is really critical to the success of our veterans is to be able to have a place to live that's not some seedy motel or a shelter. Or, you know, they come out of the VA hospital from having treatment for drug addiction or PTSD, or usually they go hand in hand, and they have no place to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we need more, you know, we're looking into transitional housing where a vet can come after treatment and stay there for a couple of years until they get back on their feet and get employment and get education, whatever it is that they need to be successful in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of the overall mission of what we're doing now. So it's basic needs because you can't help a veteran who's living on the street to get a job because it doesn't work that way. First,
mm-hmm.
he's got to get off the street. Then mm-hmm. he's got to get cleaned up. Then he's got to get sober and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Then those are the basic needs that we have to help with. Then we can put him in a job. Mm-hmm. Maybe not going to be a high-level job for the summer, but it's a job and a paycheck.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the mission, where they have a place to live and a money coming in. All those other problems go away. Mm-hmm. And so solving the employment and the housing situation, now we have a success story coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can tell you about one vet in particular. And if you jump in and ask me anything you want, stop me.
You're doing great. We love hearing about all of it.
Because I tend to go on and on. I could talk about this for hours.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to hear your story.
One of the vets that I work with, and I'm still connected to him, he's in the Navy. He's two tours of combat. He's 24 years old. Cute as a button. Really cute. And I got a phone call from Rutgers and said, got this kid. He's living on the street. He's a drug addict. He's 100% disabled with PTSD. Can you help him? I said, well, where is he? He's in East Orange. I said, okay. So we got hold of him, and we put him up in a hotel for the weekend until we can get arrangements made at the VA hospital.
Did he come willingly? Was he happy to see you?
Up to the hotel, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, as 100% disabled, he makes almost $3,000 a month.
Oh.
But when you're a drug addict, that goes really fast.
Yeah.
And people say, well, and somebody actually said this to me, well, why are you helping him? He's a drug addict. He's a drug addict because he's got a war in his head.
Yeah.
What's
the
matter with you people?
Because he was fighting for our freedom, that's why.
Well, because, and you know, when you're PTSD, you can't turn it off.
No.
He had other, you know, other injuries.
Mental illness is just misunderstood by so many people on
right.
so many levels.
And actually, I was really annoyed when someone said that to me.
Don't know. They just,
But he was a veteran himself, so I'm thinking, really? He said, well, he told me that he was conning me, that he was a drug addict. And I said, he wasn't conning me. And I know he's a drug addict. What's the matter with you? But anyway, So the story goes on that I had, I sent food to the hotel because mm-hmm. I couldn't go there. I was too far away. So I had food delivered to him because he hadn't eaten in a while. And so he had food. And then the next day I showed up with one of my friends, because I don't usually go out into any places to meet veterans on my own. It's just too dangerous.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
And so I had a friend of mine go with me, and we went to the hotel. And, you know, we met him in the lobby, and then we took him in our car, and we took him food shopping because he wasn't going to be picked up until that Monday. And he had nothing to eat other than the pizza we had delivered. And so we took him shopping, and he was so careful to buy the least expensive of everything.
Okay.
Even to the razor that he picked out. Aww. So he could shave. You know, he was looking for the cheapest one he could find. So anyway, he was very sweet. And then we got him a phone. They were giving out those free government phones at the supermarket. So we got him a new phone because his was broken. And then I had made phone calls to arrange to have him picked up on Monday morning and taken to Lyons. And I had talked to people at Lyons Hospital, and they were all ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
They were waiting for him to show up. The person who was the one who was criticizing me, the one I just told you about, he got the assignment to come pick him up from another organization I work with. He decided he knew better. He would take him to the West Orange VA.
Well, they're not waiting for him there, right?
They weren't waiting for him, and they don't do this kind of work there. So he had to go in there on a psych hold. He had to say he was going to kill himself or something like that to be able to get in on a psych hold. He was there for a day, in and out. They had no beds.
Then
he tried to get into line. It was back and forth like four times, in and out of different VA hospitals. It was a nightmare. Then his parents came and took him. They picked him up, and they took him to their cabin up in the Poconos, and they made him stay there until they had the place to send him to. He went there. He hated it. It was just a nightmare. It was one thing after another after another. Finally, he got into a VA it's in Maryland, and they have a stellar reputation for treating PTSD and drug addiction.
Oh,
they're
good.
top of the food chain with that. So we had an event last week. It was an open house, and this young vet's mother came, because I've been talking to her on the phone. I said, why don't you come? So I was telling, and I told her, I said, use your son's story, because I think it's tragic what happened to him. And so she was, you know, she was actually kind of flattered that I thought that much of him.
Mm.
And so she stood up and did a testimony about how great our organization is, how we went far beyond anything she even ever imagined to be able to help him. And I'm telling you, people were sitting there with tears in their eyes. This was so emotional.
Yeah.
She was crying. The audience was crying.
Aww.
It was really it was quite moving. So that's kind of what takes us and sets us apart from. And there are a lot of great charities out there. Don't get me wrong, but most of the big ones, and I'm not going to mention any, but you know, there's some big charities out there, and everybody there is there for a paycheck. Do they really have the heart that it takes to do the work that needs to be done? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you definitely had the tenacity to follow this poor kid through with the trials and tribulations. So where is he now? Is he still in this Maryland
facility?
He's still
in hospital in Maryland.
Doing well or
improving? He's doing very well. Okay. But he's only 25 now. This is a year or something we've been working with them.
But he's got his whole life ahead of him.
He's
right?
got his whole life ahead of him, but he's got all these demons to deal with.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. So he's in the right place.
Yeah, he's in the right place, and we hope he's a success story. There's no guarantees. He might be back on the streets in another, you know, after a month after he gets out. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Because what he has to get over is really big.
Yeah. PTSD. Most of us can't even imagine. We can't even imagine.
No, you can't imagine. You can't imagine being in combat and killing people and people shooting at you and getting blown up by IEDs and your buddy next to you is killed and you have to carry him off. You can't imagine that.
No, I mean, it's yeah,
the fear and the anguish that you go through. Mm-hmm. I mean, I fell up the stairs, broke my nose, and now I have PTSD about the stairs.
Nice. Oh, no. I know. It's tough.
It is. It's really, I don't think people really get it. And people say about him being a drug addict, he didn't want to be a drug addict. He just had to stop the pain. Yeah. And that was the only way he found that was working for him. Unfortunately, he just created a much bigger problem. But.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the whole opioid epidemic, you don't have to be a veteran to have a drug problem either. There's just like lots kind of issues going on. But
sure.
But I like that you're very committed to this cause, and you have a background. Really, you know, you lived with people in it. And I think most of us know somebody that's a veteran. I would think my cousin was in the Air Force. My father-in-law was in the Korean War. I mean, I think pretty much everybody can connect in some way. You don't have to go very far to connect to a veteran that you know
Completely,
who served our country.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's good.
I think the country's going through a big transition right now. And whether you like it or you don't like it, or you know, like what's happening or you hate what's happening, it's a transition. We went through this in the 60s with the hippie movement. Remember that? Everybody hated the hippie movement. But it was impactful. It changed things.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it would change for the better or the worse, but it's changing. And every time there's something happening where there's a change, people resist. And now we're resisting. And people are afraid. And I think, you know, we've been through this already. Just go back and look at history.
I know. Well, history repeats itself. More people are engaged now. I mean, that's the good thing. Whether you like it or you don't, more people are like, well, what can I do? Well, you can vote, you know, and you can get involved. Yeah.
But I also think that people have this entitlement sense that it's only my problems that matter. Nobody else's problems matter. I think we're dealing with a little bit of that. And so the respect for the veterans, this is where I was going with this, isn't the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, oh, thank you for your service. Well, give me a dollar for the cause. No, we can't do that.
Yeah. Are they grateful when you say thank you for your service? If it's
offensive? I think you pay, they know whether you're just saying words or whether you really mean it.
Yeah. Well, and then maybe that's what you could do is just say thank you for your service. Is there some cause or veteran support org that you know of that you believe in that I could help support? You know, ask the veterans or ask the servicemen.
They probably won't know of anybody.
Yeah,
you
maybe,
know, they'll
maybe
probably
not.
Know. They'll probably say Wounded Warrior, but we all know what that story is, so we don't go there.
Yeah, well, there's so many other good ones. Well, I did notice on your website you've got 50 or so resources of other organizations that are helping veterans. So you've vetted all those. Have you? Most of them?
Well, most of them are either government supported or they're fairly decent size organizations that get a lot of grant money to run their programs. So where we get nothing, we have to earn every penny that we have to spend. And the average veteran that comes for financial support costs us $1,500.
Yeah.
And so every time we spend 15, we got to make 15.
Yeah.
So that becomes a constant thing of, you know, where are we going to get the next 15 from? And we work on that. And it's all the time. It's constant.
Yep. We've talked so much and have so much fun that we're just blown right through our first break. So I'm going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we will be right back with Sandy.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. Our guest today is Sandy Mitchell. She's the founder and president of Project Help, an organization supporting veterans and their families. And you're going to share some statistics with us.
Absolutely. I don't know if people realize it because you don't really see it so much, but in New Jersey alone, there are about 6,000 homeless veterans.
Wow.
Now, defining that doesn't necessarily mean they're living under a bridge. It means they don't have an address. Huh. They could be in a shelter. They could be couch surfing, or they could literally be on the streets, train stations, mm-hmm. along the railroad tracks. I saw one the other day. Mm. His bicycle was piled high with paraphernalia and clothes and food and stuff, and he was sitting out there having his lunch.
Oh, wow.
So it's out there. We just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the more rural areas, like down here, you probably won't see too much, but mm-hmm. definitely in the cities. Mm-hmm. When you get up into the more metropolitan area, that's where you find most of the homeless. The other statistic that people, they may have heard about this, but 22 veterans commit suicide every day.
Every day.
Every
wow.
day. It is devastating. Mm-hmm. My husband committed suicide, so
yeah.
I know what that is.
Ugh.
And they don't commit suicide because they don't feel like getting a job. They commit suicide because they have nothing to live for.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, and the Vietnam vets especially weren't honored at all. They were just, they had the worst of all of it.
Absolutely.
Like,
well, none of them had it easy, but definitely Vietnam was disrespected. The people who did the fighting were there because it was their job.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a terrible way to treat the veterans when they came back. Excuse me. And those guys are women. Men and women are in their late 60s and mid-70s now. So I think we see the big rash of suicides in that population because they're alone. You know what happens as you get older? Your families
yeah.
move away.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends die off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're getting more isolated, and the isolation causes the depression, which triggers the PTSD. And right. on and on. So they look at it and say, well, where am I going? What's the point in living anymore?
Well,
so
yeah. Well, that's the whole point of the show, is to get people to get out and volunteer and build a sense of community.
Right.
Because we need the old to talk to the young, to communicate together, to be together. Because people have gone away from religion, a lot of people. So you don't have the church, you don't have the community, you don't have the neighborhood working out for each other. So my observation is, why not, you know, find an avenue, a volunteer avenue, to get engaged and help.
Well, that's great. And it really is hard to find good volunteers. Everybody says they want to volunteer, right? Yeah. But when it comes time to actually showing up for something to volunteer, that's a whole nother story. So my feeling is, if you have 10 volunteers, you're going to have maybe two that are going to be worthwhile.
I know. Well, and the people don't realize that once you get into it and find the right fit for you, the rewards are beyond measure.
It's so rewarding. Wait, yes. I work about 80 hours a week and I don't get paid a dime.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, that we all, you and I are both like freaks. Yes,
absolutely.
I know. But the funny thing is, I heard this, I was at this seminar the other day, and she said it perfectly, because people are like, I don't have time. Well, you have time for what you make time for.
That's right.
And it was so funny. She said, she was talking to somebody like, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. And then like, oh, did you see The Bachelor? And she's like, no, I've never seen The Bachelor ever. Like, because of the streaming and the TV. It's like, just put, you know, cut out 1 hour of TV a week and spend it volunteering, and you'll transform your life. I mean, I believe it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the feeling you get is so amazing. It just like kind of washes over you, this feeling of awesomeness.
Yeah, because it's what we're meant to do, is to help each other.
Yeah, and it's sad how that's just kind of fallen apart. But I see more of it. You know, I think if we weren't so materialistic, we would have, you know, and that's true. Everybody has to have the best of everything and the newest of everything. And my feeling about, I'm totally not materialistic at all. And so I think, well, I should buy a new car, shouldn't I? Because my car's got rust on it, and it's a 2002 Impreza, and it's got almost 200,000 miles. I should get a new car, right? I can afford it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know what? In 10 years, it'll be the same thing. So why am I, you know, so I'm like that. And I said, you know, really, couldn't I do put better use to that money than buying another car that's going to end up in the junkyard eventually?
Yeah, no, I mean, as long as it gets me to point A, from point A to point B, that's all I need.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
So those are the 22 suicides we're doing an event for, and it's called the 22 Challenge. Uh-huh. And I don't know if you're... audience is going to be in the neighborhood for that, but it's going to be held on June 16th, the day before Father's Day. And what it's going to entail is, and if you heard of the 22 Challenge, there's nothing new.
So where's Bud Lake? Is that up
Bud
in Sussex?
Bud Lake is in Morris County.
Oh, okay.
And it's a beautiful venue. The park is beautiful. We'll have running side by side with the recreation department. They'll be doing a mutter, and we'll be doing the 22 challenge. And 22 challenge is usually 22 push-ups, and then somebody else does 22 push-ups. Aww. But this, we decided to, let's make this 22 challenge an event.
Okay.
And so we have the first station is 22 push-ups. Then you run 22 yards. You get to the next station when the whole team gets you. You do 22 sit-ups. And you have 22 of these stations to do.
Like a circuit course.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a circuit. And the whole team has to finish.
Okay.
And the winning team that the whole team finishes, they become the winner and they get the trophy. So and it's $22 to enter.
Okay.
You know, so it's
and the whole family can go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So is there, for a team, is there an ideal size for a team?
I think between 4 and 6 is a good size team. Okay. Because when they get there, they're going to get put on another team. So they take their team, and their team goes on the Army team, or goes on the Marine Corps team, or the Navy team. And
very fun.
So it's really, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for that one. And then, so that ties in. And it's really about bringing awareness about the 22 suicides.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. No, it's very poignant. It's good.
And we're this is our first annual, so we'll see how it works out. But I'm excited about it, because this other event, the Mutter's, been going on for years, and they get about, I think over 2,000 people show up.
Yeah, Mutter's are all the rage.
Yeah,
right?
They get about 300 that do the Mutter, but there's 22 or 2,500 count of people who come to watch and roam around, because there's vendors there, and there's music.
Yeah, an event.
So it's a real fun event.
So this is Saturday, June 16th at Turkey Brook Park, 30 Flanders Road, Bud Lake, New Jersey. It starts at 9 a.m., mm-hmm. but I'm sure you've got everything listed on the website, which is projecthelp.us.
Yeah, and there's an actual direct registration listed there, too,
BikeReg. BikeReg.com/22-challenge.
Right. And that's because they don't have a 22-challenge registration thing.
That's right. Well, I'll post it on my Happy to Help site, too.
Okay. And so we're excited about that. And really about, it's not even about the money. I think we'll make money because they get to get pledges, you know, the same as with any kind of a challenge thing. But it's really about bringing that awareness to the surface, you know. Mm-hmm. We're all about making people aware. And if people don't know, then they can't help.
Yeah.
But making them aware of the things that are happening to our veterans, aside from the 22 challenges, a million other things that we could do.
Yeah.
But we take it one at a time. So then we're also having a cigar social.
Yeah, and that's in Whippany?
In Whippany.
Yeah.
And we did this last year, and it was a blast. Oh. It's a, you know, you come into, we have a private room. You come into the room for free, and that's it. You pay for everything else.
Okay.
If you want to eat dinner, it's like $10 or $11 for dinner. They're all the same price.
Yeah.
And with dinner, you get a free cigar. And then they have the bar. So you can eat, drink, smoke, and have a great time.
Perfect.
And I walk out reeking, and I don't smoke or drink, so it's a challenge for me to be there the whole time. But it's fun. I mean, people get to just be themselves. And then we talk a little bit about Project Help, but I don't do a big lecture thing or anything like that. Just a little blurb.
A little subtle. Yeah.
And then we put our donation jar out, and sometimes we get maybe make $100 or whatever. So it pays the gas and whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then we have... In September, we're having a coffee pairing.
Okay.
And, yeah, you heard of a wine pairing, right?
Okay.
Well, this is coffee and desserts.
Yum.
And you get to sample them all. And we're going to only charge like $10. And we have to charge something because it's going to cost us some money.
Yeah.
But $10. And you come in and you try certain flavors of coffee and pair it with certain types of dessert. And a lot of it is going to be chocolate.
I'll be there.
Chocolate dishes. And I don't know anyone else that's doing this.
That's a good concept.
It's kind of a brainchild of mine. And then our big event is in, we did it last year for the first time. We called it Visions in Black and White. And it was an art show auction of black and white photography that spoke to patriotism. It didn't have to be the flag and an eagle, and it didn't have to be that, but it had to look like it was something to do with America.
Okay.
So, and it was great, and we netted about $7,000 that night.
Nice.
And that was only half of what I thought we would do because we didn't have as many people because of where we had it. So we're doing it again this year, but we're broadening the scope, and so instead of just having black and white photography, it's any kind of hanging art. And sculpture and pottery.
Mm.
So, and the reason I decided to do that was because I thought if we keep in, you know, your base is your base, and they're going to come to your events. We want them to buy stuff, and they're not going to keep buying black and white photography. I mean, what are they going to do with it?
Mm, yeah.
So, mixing it up a little is kind of. And so that's going to happen in Oak Ridge in mid-October, October 18th, I believe, is the date. So we're kind of excited about that. And that's kind of our signature thing. We'll keep the Visions name, but not Visions in Black and White. We'll call it Visions 2018.
Okay.
And then we'll just do it that way. We had a great time last year. We had live auction. The auctioneer was a Vietnam veteran, and he donated his services, which is really great.
Yeah.
And we had a silent auction, and we had... So we picked some of the art to hang on to have in the live auction. The rest of it went to silent auction. And then we went and we got golf outings and things like that. And those were part of silent auction. So those are our fundraisers.
And then you have a football game coming up, right?
Yeah, that's a social event.
Oh, social. Okay.
Yeah, that's the West Point game. And I think it's good to have social events where there's nothing about making money on it.
Yeah, just hang out. Yeah.
Yeah, just hang out. I love to go to West Point. It's so beautiful there. In fact, I forgot to even add enough onto each ticket to pay for the fees that I had to pay. So the ones online now, I had to add a couple, like $2 to the price of the ticket or something.
Well, all very reasonable and for a good cause. So, yeah. So do you just come up with all these ideas and these flyers
and
everything?
I'm just a wealth of ideas.
I know. Well, the flyers are just very impressive. Are you a graphic artist?
No, we have one of our board members. She's a director of marketing. She's a graphic designer, and she's really good at it.
Yeah, obviously. These are very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does everything. She came up with all of our letterhead stuff and all. She designs everything. Well, not the cards. Those were done already. But
the logo?
No, my grandson did that, but she changed it. The logo now is a little bit different.
Okay.
But it's unless you really knew it, you wouldn't notice it.
Okay.
But it just prints better, the new one.
Nice.
And so we're very fortunate to have her. And her mom is also on the board. And she is, holy cow, she is a workhorse.
Good.
She never stops. She's amazing.
Good.
So,
That's amazing. They all kinds of good stuff. So I also read somewhere on your site that your 2018 volunteer goal is 50 people or 50. How do you want to get volunteers involved, or how can they get involved? Because you're all over. You're all over. There's an event close to you.
And I think having 50 volunteers that we can send out an email to and say, hey, we have this need on this date. Can you be there? And if we have 50 and we only need 3, we'll probably get 3.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
But then there's also some positions that are we have that you can do from home.
Uh-huh.
You can work from home doing things like database management, things like that. Mm-hmm. Where if you have a computer and you can use Excel, you can work from home.
Yep.
So there's all sorts of opportunities. I have a laundry list of volunteer opportunities, but 50 is a good number. Too many, you don't want too many, because then it just becomes nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But 50 good potential volunteers that are willing to give up a couple of days a year, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And one of the things that we're going to need volunteer help with is our bus.
Your bus.
A bus.
Okay, what's going on with the bus?
Okay, the bus. We were donated a school bus.
Oh.
And we were donated it by a friend of mine who I ran into at an event, and he had a school bus that they converted into a Giants bus for the Giants games. And so I was going to the game in a couple of weeks, and I said, hey, Mike, can we go on the bus with you? And he says, oh, we don't take the bus anymore. Well, why not? So it was a whole big conversation. Well, why don't you donate the bus to Project Help? He said, no. He said, the bus is not running great, and it's kind of rusted out a little bit. He said, but I have a couple other ones. Come pick the one you want. He gave me a freaking school bus.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you. Oh, my God. That's nice. Good to have friends with buses.
Oh, my God. Now what am I going to do?
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
So me and my ingenious brain said, okay, so then we need to put clothes someplace, because we were collecting clothes for the vets. So I went online, and I saw this place called Move-In Self-Storage, and they have a couple places around it. So I sent them an email and asked them if they would be willing to donate a storage unit for a couple of months. They called me back and they said, how big? How long? Keep it until.
That's
so
nice.
We've had it for over a year now. And so that part is great. And we had this, the kids over at Votech in Morris County, they designed the look of the bus and the exterior. We had a couple of contractors come in, one, Broken Contracting. He's a great guy. He came in and he said, no, this isn't good enough what you're planning. So he took all the materials that were already delivered and he bought all new ones, came in and he built custom cabinets on the bus,
wow.
Put down a wood floor.
Ah.
And I looked at the pictures and I said, put in a bathroom. I'm living there.
Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh.
So nice. So
is it done or is it still in?
Well, everything inside is done. We had some mechanical issues, which are fixed, and we also got the exterior paint donated. But the problem is that we couldn't find a paint booth tall enough to put the bus in. The bus is 11 feet tall. The paint booth is 10 feet, the opening.
Okay.
So we think we have it solved. I'm hoping, because we're going to go get the bus on Friday. We're arranged to pick up the bus on
Friday. That's exciting.
And then this same contractor who did the inside, he says, I'm going to get it done for you. He's willing to pay to have a wrap done, or at least half of a wrap.
Wow.
We wanted to wrap it because it's you can do a lot with a wrap.
Yeah, because you can do the logo and all that, right? Yeah, I mean, wow.
$8,000.
Oh.
I said, I wouldn't do it for a 20-year-old bus. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
But I would take the design because it was supposed to be camo, desert camo, and then on top of it, a scrolling American flag going up the side up to the top, and it covers the whole side of the bus on both sides. And then our logo. Well, the flag part we can still have done as a wrap because that one costs too much. It's just a flag. But the rest of it, I think it's going to end up being a white bus.
That's all right.
That's fine.
So what are you going to do with this bus?
So the bus is going to go on the road, and we're going to take it around with clothes, laptops, printers, tents, a bunch of stuff, and take them out to low-income housing units where veterans are living. And some of them are transitional housing. Some are just kind of poverty level housing units, and then let them come on the bus and take all the clothes. And it, we're really focused on professional attire. Mm-hmm. I mean, although we will have all the other stuff too, but taking professional attire out and letting them get suited for an interview. Mm-hmm. And then we'll help them to construct on the laptops that we have. We'll have it all set up. They can just construct the resume based on their performance in the military and anything that they've done since then. And then with the connections that I've now made through other organizations I'm involved with, take them directly to these HR people that I've connected to and said, this guy needs a job. Look him over and see what you can do. So, so the whole idea is to get them suited with decent clothes, a resume. We'll also have somebody there that can make alterations and a makeup artist for the women and a barber to cut hair. So we'll have the whole, it'll be a whole day being on site with pop-up tents for privacy.
So we have
five laptops so far. We still need more. We have a printer. We have. We still need the pop-up tents. We still need a few, a small generator, and a few miscellaneous things, and then getting the outside done. And then we're. But I think even if all we get is the outside done and get it registered and insured, and that it can get done in maybe a day or two, then we can be on the road in a couple of weeks.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I'm really excited because this guy. You know, it's been sitting and sitting, and I'm saying, oh, my God. And I keep – I don't like to nag people, but, you know, you said you were going to do it.
Yeah, I know. And when it's pro bono, you don't want to bug them too much.
But a year?
Oh, yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's
– Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, if you're going to do it – but, I mean, I know people get busy and, yeah, no, it's
– But it's a technical school. It was supposed to be a school project. Oh, and it has, a ramp out the back so we can, it's wheelchair accessible.
Wow.
We spared no
that's good. Well, it sounds like it's useful. So, I mean, and I think there's quite a few companies that are committed to hiring veterans.
There are. And one of the organizations that I'm now connected to through DeMava, which is part of the government, it's a branch of government that works with veterans. We have a new initiative to help incarcerated vets. So veterans go to jail for a lot of reasons, and some of them deserve it. And I'm just saying because they're a veteran, you should excuse them. But sometimes the ones that have PTSD, you just don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And so when they're in prison, they're prisoners, and they are not encouraged to do anything but ride out their time. And most of them aren't in there for anything really, really serious. Maybe, you know, suddenly punched somebody or, you know, got into a barroom brawl or whatever. And so, you know, we're working on a lot of things like Veterans Court is one of them, that veterans get a special treatment because of their diagnosis of mental illness. And so you shouldn't throw a veteran in prison because he had an episode from PTSD, and that's a mental illness. So do you really want to put him in jail for that?
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to figure out is how can we prepare them to succeed when they get out, keep them out in the first place, but in prison, there are plenty of things that you can do if you're held accountable. I mean, you can get your education in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. They should be using the prisons more as true rehabilitation instead of just incarceration.
See, there's no accountability for that, though. So I'm thinking that this program that we're coming up with should say, okay, here's what we're going to do for you when you come out, provided you've done this while you're in.
Yeah.
So it's the carrot and the stick, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And make them step up and make an effort and then get some reward. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that totally makes sense.
Yeah. And so that's one of the organizations that I'm with. And there's another one called New Jersey Salute Coalition. And that's another group of, and the people that are getting involved in this they're big companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about ambassadors? Are those different from volunteers for your group?
Well, a volunteer becomes an ambassador if they choose to. An ambassador will get marketing materials like those postcards that I gave you before, and we actually teach them a little bit more about what we do, so that they can go out and talk about us. And ambassadors have the potential to set up speaking engagements for me, because you can tell how shy I am about talking, right?
No, you got to get out there for sure, and you're good at it.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Put me in front of an audience to speak to them about this thing that I love.
Yeah. It comes through loud and clear, which is amazing. So, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Everybody, you can find that organization that you feel this engaged in, you know, whether it's the planet or animals or veterans or babies or, you know, there's something
for everybody.
So it's, I mean, and you can just tell how it energizes you. I mean, you're just like an Energizer bunny going after all this stuff. It's great. But I mean, and you're loving it, right?
I am absolutely loving it.
So how about your kids? Do they help out or are they just
No. Well, my kids are all grown, you know, my baby's in, he's 44. He's 44.
Yeah. But have they encouraged you in these efforts or they have their own
mom? No, they think I'm crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're mom, so of course, right?
No, yeah. It's only mom. She's doing her thing. But you know, I have to say, well, whose name has your name been in the newspaper like 10 times in the last 2 months? how many radio shows have you been on?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, do they have volunteer passions of their own or no? Are they just busy with life right now?
Well, they're busy with their own life. Yeah. My youngest son, he likes to coach the little kids. Yeah. You know, he's a sports coach and they're his girlfriend's kids. They're not but he still goes to school and he coaches the teams.
Yeah,
and so he loves that stuff. I don't think my daughter does any of that yet. She'll get there. She just doesn't do it now.
Yeah.
And my oldest son, he's actually works with the town and he does some volunteer work to keep our lake clean. So it's
worthy.
Yeah. So there's that initiative. And,
yeah, that's good.
But none of them, any of them, hold a candle to the passion that I feel for this. Well, they haven't found their niche
yet. Exactly. Sometimes you just got to find it and work your way there. And yeah, that's totally fine. I mean, I was raised in a family that valued volunteering and I you know, teach my own kids, but again, they're the same thing. Oh, mom, you're just a lunatic, but you know, I'm loving it. So,
Well, I didn't volunteer until later in life because I just didn't have any time.
Yeah. You and know, that's part of it.
I had three kids, a full-time job going to school and when was I going to volunteer?
That is part of it. When you've got time and retirement but it's good to dabble in it along the way until you find
your niche. Find out what really get your juices going.
Right.
And if it doesn't get your juices going, you're not going to be a very good volunteer.
Right.
And
right.
Sometimes it may not even be the cause. It might just be the challenge of making things happen.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, if the challenge of making something successful is more important to you than the cause, I'm okay with that because you're still going to be a great volunteer.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best ambassador, but a great volunteer or committee person or board person. See, right now, just getting board members because we don't pay. Just getting board members is a challenge. So
yeah. Most nonprofits don't pay their board members.
They do. The big ones do.
Well, the big ones, but I mean, I think there's a lot of grassroots. And you've got this incredible group that's helping you with the marketing and the scheduling and I think that in and of itself, working with this community for a common cause is really great.
Right. Well, I have actually one woman she has a marketing company.
Oh, perfect.
And she volunteers all of the time that we need. She's now lined up all of her social media posts. She rebuilt the website. She's doing the social media, and she's going to take over the email blast.
Oh, nice.
So at least the scheduling and part of the writing and editing.
Because all this stuff takes time. I mean, you know, because social media, there's so many pieces to it, and, you know, it's a lot.
It is a lot. And I mean, I post on Facebook and Twitter and those places, but the one I really enjoy doing the most is LinkedIn. I like to write a story or write an article for LinkedIn.
Okay.
I get a lot of feedback that way.
Oh, good.
So I enjoy doing that, and I think it's a different caliber of audience on
LinkedIn. It's professionals.
Yeah. And Facebook is like, some of the people there are great. I mean, I know a lot. I've got 2,000 people on my Facebook page. But I look at it and I say, but of those 2,000, how many really care about what we're doing? I'm probably a dozen.
I know. It's hard because it's so easy to just click that like button and then move on. But to truly become engaged, you got to.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. So she might have better skills than I with that. I just personally don't have the patience for it. I really don't. LinkedIn, I have the patience for because you can really. And Twitter, not as bad as Facebook. You can do a little bit more on Twitter. But if you don't have a picture and something that grabs Facebook right away that's like really craziness, then nobody looks at it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and I can't, I you know, I made totally sworn off anything political on Facebook because, boy, does that cause issues. And so I try to keep neutral on these things, you know,
and keep
it that way. And that's been working pretty well. But the other social media, Twitter and LinkedIn, I kind of like them better than Facebook. And Instagram, I don't even know how to use Instagram.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pick your, well, it's basically the demographic you're trying to reach.
Exactly.
So if that, you know, figure out who's on that platform. So, you know, the Snapchat, if you're trying to reach the high school, college kids.
Yeah, no,
me neither. My kids love it, but I'm like, it's in.
Instagram is probably your broadest base of demographic on that. And then Instagram feeds into Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Facebook tends to, I think they're older than the ones on Instagram.
So
you have an older population. I think Facebook is basically 45 or 50 and up.
Yep.
That's
probably
the biggest population there.
Well, we're getting close to the end here, so I want to make sure you get in any kind of call to action or any information that you haven't shared yet about Project Help that you want people to know before we sign off.
Well, I think I gave you the cliff notes of all the important parts. The call to action that I'd like to put out there is for people to step up. You know, there's lots of ways to help. You can help with, of course, with financial donations. If you know, giving a donation of $25 or $30 can provide over the winter new warm socks and gloves and hats for veterans that are barely making it. Other donations like $50 or $100 can provide food for a week for a single person, or $100 can feed a family of, you know, for a week, and $500 could take care of them for a month. So there's all different levels, and all the money that gets donated goes right to our hardship fund. So what we do when we have veterans in need for things like gas and food, gas for a car and food so they can get around, we give them gift cards.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, if anybody would want to mail in gift cards, we're happy to take
them.
Oh,
yeah, from Target or wherever,
ShopRite. I tend to like them for supermarkets and a place where you can buy gas. Like Quick Check is great because they're all over.
Oh, okay. Or Wawa, maybe. I don't know. Do they do gift cards?
We don't have Wawa.
Not up there.
I think there's a new one coming in, but it's not there yet.
Okay, so, yeah, so any of those. Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. Well, I think... you know, the veterans have stepped up for us. It's time for us to step up for them, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yes. And I want to share this quote that I posted on my Facebook
about
Barbara Bush, because I just thought it was you know, because everyone was watching the funeral and it was so touching. But she had a famous quote. It said, "Some people give time, some money, some their skills and connections. Some literally give their life's blood, but everyone has something to give."
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
And some gave all.
Oh, yeah, some gave their life.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So
all gave some and some gave all.
Right.
And that's over this. We have a vet cemetery up by us, and that's over the archway at the cemetery. It's really poignant.
Right.
And
the other one is we can't all do everything, but we can all do something.
That's right.
Yeah.
And nobody's expecting anybody to step up and do it all.
Right.
But, you know, it takes a village to raise a kid. Well, it takes the same village to run an organization.
Yes, and many hands make light work.
That's right.
So we could just go on and on with the quotes here. So, yeah, no, it's very, very wonderful hearing your story. And I wish you the best of luck with this, with Project Help and all the veterans you're helping in the bus. I'm looking forward to following all that evolves. And the cigar event sounds really fun.
Right.
22 challenge. So,
do you want me to give a phone number or anything?
If you'd like to, sure.
Yeah, if anyone needs to reach out and they have any solutions to any of the issues that we spoke of, my telephone number is 973-875-2068, and our website is projecthelp.us.
And thank you, Sandy Mitchell, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdenhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump's nominee to lead the Veterans Administration reportedly not planning to bow out of his nomination, despite allegations of workplace misconduct as he was running the White House Physician's Office over the years, allegations of excessive drinking on the job, and improperly dispensing medications. Yesterday, after a Capitol Hill meeting, Dr. Ronnie Jackson told reporters,
"I'm looking forward to rescheduling the hearing and answering everyone's questions."
Jackson referring to the Senate hearing that was supposed to happen today.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Sheriff's Office says they've opened a criminal investigation into the couple's disappearance and foul play is suspected. Investigators also releasing the 911 call made by Michael's son.
I'm worried about him and their phones are off. You know, they've been gone for 12 hours now.
There's been no activity on bank accounts, cell